Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you remember that, I can say, somewhat old movie now, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids? Some of you remember that movie. It's kind of a zany movie of the scientist, and he invents this shrink ray, and he's really excited about it, but the bugs are not worked out yet. And then somehow the kids get into the laboratory, and they get shrunk, and all of a sudden they find themselves probably a quarter of an inch or less tall. They get swept off into the trash, and they find themselves out in the backyard, which to them looks like a giant, giant jungle. If you remember, at different points during the movie, they are overwhelmed by the magnitude, the size of everything, even though, frankly, everything is really small. And that's what can happen to us at times as we deal with stress and anxiety. We go through life and there are some struggles and difficulties, and pretty soon it can feel overwhelming. And even those seemingly smaller things become that much larger because we have come to the point where we are overwhelmed. We're overwhelmed by stress. According to the American Institute of Stress, I didn't know there was such a thing, but apparently there's an American Institute of Stress. According to the American Institute of Stress, the top five stressors in 2017 were the following: future of our nation, money, work, the political climate, and violence and crime. And I imagine that you can add to that list of things that were really prevalent upon your mind this past year, and now, even now in 2018. And it could be that you're feeling rather stressed right now, maybe overwhelmed. And that can happen as we are dealing with the struggles in our own life or as we see others deal with their struggles. When you're wondering about that particular test result, and you don't know the outcome of that test, you don't know how the surgery is going to go, and you're facing that future surgery date, when you have a loved one who is going through a trial and you feel rather helpless to be able to do something about the situation, you can begin feeling rather stressed. Mothers can grow weary as they're taking care of their children and the monotony of changing the diapers and putting the kids to bed and bathing them and keeping them alive can take a toll after a while. We can be rather tired and things can become rather overwhelming. Now, how do we deal with this stress? How do we cope with the stress? Well, unfortunately, we don't always cope with stress with very healthy or positive ways. There may be times when we will eat when we're stressed. That quart of ice cream in the refrigerator begins looking so, so good, and we begin eating all of it instead of just part, and because we're trying to get away from the stress. Sometimes an excessive amount of drinking, it's an effort to try to get away from the stress. Binging on YouTube or Facebook and just mindlessly going to the next video, trying to escape from whatever problem or situation is in your mind. But as you know, that doesn't really help the problem. It pushes it to the side for just a moment, but then it looms back even bigger because it's still there. You haven't dealt with it. It's still upon your heart and mind, and you can find yourself really stressed. You can find yourself with that knot in the pit of your stomach, maybe insomnia because your mind is just racing over and over again, trying to figure out that problem or that situation, and you feel yourself becoming overwhelmed. And those coping mechanisms that we sometimes try that are not healthy, those don't work, and we're left stressed and worried and weary. But it's not hopeless. Because in the middle of the stress, in the middle of the difficulties, we have some place to turn. We can turn to the Lord. And as we come to the Lord in prayer, we receive strength from the Lord and also a perspective. And that's sometimes what we really need, is a new perspective when we feel like everything is just overwhelming us. What I find interesting is that our Lord Jesus, went to God the Father in prayer. We see demonstrated in our gospel lesson the authority of Jesus, Jesus as true God, as he is casting out demons, as he is healing. But In verse 35 of Mark chapter 1, we read that Jesus goes and takes some time to pray. As it says in Mark chapter 1:35, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you! Everyone is looking for you!' And he said to them, 'Let us go to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out.'" I find it interesting, in the middle of Jesus' ministry, important stuff. Healing the sick, important. Casting out demons, very important. But he takes that time out with God the Father as he receives strength and direction, a sense of purpose. And notice how in the middle of that, the disciples were looking for him, trying to get his attention. But Jesus maintained his purpose, maintained his focus, and he said, "Hey, you know what? My purpose is to proclaim the gospel, and so it's time to move on from here. There are more people here who need healing, but my purpose is to share the gospel." So Jesus, we see not only as true God, showing his authority over sickness, over the possessions of demons, but we also see then him as true man, who comes to God the Father in the middle of the busyness, in the middle of what could be very stressful situations, and he takes time out to receive strength from the Lord. And that's the privilege that we have as well. And I want to point out to you the amazingness of the God to whom you pray. I want to give us a perspective with prayer and show you the amazingness of the God to whom we pray. And to do that, I want to look at that Old Testament lesson, which is just awesome. It truly is. So a little background on the Old Testament lesson. Isaiah is speaking to a people who are stressed. That would be putting it mildly. When you find out that you're being placed into exile into a foreign country, that's really stressful. So the people of Israel are facing exile. But in the middle of this, in the middle of this prophecy that this is going to happen, there is also hope that even though they're going to be facing the stresses of exile, there are going to be foreign rulers. They don't know what these foreign rulers are going to be like, what they're going to do. But the Lord will watch over them. The Lord will take care of them. And Isaiah points them to the mighty, awesome God. And that's what I want to do today, reminding us that we can come to this awesome, almighty God in prayer. So with that in mind, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 21 starts out this: "Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers." I love the imagery that's in this passage of scripture. So the Lord, he's above all of this. He's above everything else, zooming out from our little planet. And he says that the people, the inhabitants of the earth, are like grasshoppers. Grasshoppers are how big? Oh, maybe that big. They only live about 4 months, unless you squish them. They're kind of little. And in view of things, this gives us a perspective. We can see life as overwhelming. We can see the rulers of the earth as overwhelming. But from God's perspective, you, me, everybody else, we're like grasshoppers. Tiny. Weak. I think that can give us some perspective. Isaiah 40:22 says, "Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in." Those of you that have done some camping, you know how it goes. You take your tent, you roll it out, you open it up. It really doesn't take too long to put up if you know what you're doing. And those of you that have worked with curtains, you know how easy it is to take your hands and just whoosh, open right up the curtains. And the imagery here is God who takes the heavens. He's the one who created the heavens and the earth by the word of his mouth and just whoosh. And there is the sky. There are the stars. If you were to take a pin, if you were to take a pin and you were to point it up at any point along the sky, in that point, in that pinpoint are 100,000 stars. 100,000 stars within that one pinpoint. Actually, if I remember right, it's 100,000 galaxies in one pinpoint. anywhere that you put in the sky. There are billions of galaxies in the universe. We are tiny, 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 tiny. And what an amazing perspective. In the middle of our seemingly big problems, we have a God who is just awesome, almighty, and majestic. Isaiah chapter 40, 23 says, "Who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth. When he blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble." You see how he changes the imagery from grasshoppers to grass? The rulers of the earth, those people that have their big fancy cars, their mansions, their millions of dollars, their armies, their vast armies, their nuclear bombs, they're like grass. He blows on them and they're gone. As we think about the political things in our world and we get frustrated, remember this. In the big scheme of things, they're like grass. They're fading. In our Ecclesiastes Bible study, we talked about all is vanity. All is vanity. Some of these rulers that we have in our world today, they won't be remembered in the future. They're going to be gone. Isaiah chapter 40, it continues. "To whom then will you compare me that I should be like him?" says the Holy One. "Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, no one is missing." So we talked about the amazing amount of galaxies in the universe, but think about this, that God knows every single galaxy. If he wanted to, and maybe he has, he can name each one of the galaxies. Not only that, he can name each one of the stars. There are billions and billions and billions of stars, and if he wanted to, he could assign a name to each one of these. So yes, he's awesome and he's powerful, but he knows intimate details about everything in the universe, which includes everything about you. He knows about every one of the cells in your body. He knows about all the situations that you are dealing with. He knows about all the struggles that you are dealing with. And because of Christ, because of who you are in Christ as God's baptized child of God, God knows you by name. He knows your name. And he loves you and he cares about you. As it says in the catechism about the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Our Father who art in heaven," what does this mean? With these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father and that we are his true children, so that with all boldness and confidence, we may ask him as dear children ask their dear Father. Do you believe this? I think sometimes we can act as if we don't believe that. But we need to be reminded of that in God's word, that God, through Jesus Christ, is your Heavenly Father who desires you to come to him any day of the week, any hour of the day, day or night. Martin Luther speaks about the idea of us being God's children. And I'll quote this here. "Here our great human weakness discovers itself. If we fully and confidently believe this, that is, that we are God's children, then of what should we be afraid, or who could do us harm? He who from the heart can say to God, 'Thou art my Father, and I am thy child,' he who can say this can surely bid defiance to all the devils in hell and joyfully despise the threatenings and ragings of the whole world. For he possesses in his Father a Lord before whom all creatures must tremble and without whose will they can do nothing. And he possesses a heritage which no creature can harm, a dominion which none can reduce." So do you have big problems in your life? Do you have big stresses in your life? Remember this, that you have a God who is exponentially bigger than your problems and your situations. A God who is exponentially larger and bigger and more amazing. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. And the Lord is the one who will give us what we need, and we don't need to worry about the unknown. We can try to go through our mind and try to figure out how a situation is going to turn out. We can try to play the chess game in our mind to see, and yet we don't need to worry about it. God has it all figured out, and if we need to know something, he will give it to us. He will give us what we need at the right time. But we can leave the rest to God. As Martin Luther would say, pray and let God worry. Pray and let God worry. Because he is the one who gives you the power and strength that you need. Isaiah 40:29 says, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. Some of you are going to be watching the Super Bowl this afternoon, and you're going to see a lot of young men who are very powerful, very athletic, and yet they get tired. They get tired too. Philadelphia Eagles quarterback is Nick Foles, if I remember correctly. Nick Foles of the Philadelphia Eagles is 6'6", big guy, weighing 242 pounds. I would hope that he'd be my friend, that I would be on his team. But Nick Foles, I will guarantee you, will get tired this afternoon in the Super Bowl. When you're wrestling, when you're doing your activities, you know that you grow weary and you grow tired. But the verse in Isaiah continues. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, does this mean that the Lord is going to go poof and everything's going to automatically be better for you? No, not always. There are times when God will give instant healing, and we praise the Lord for that. There are other times, though, when he will give you the strength and he will give you the perspective that you need in the middle of the challenges, remember that the Lord is with you in the middle of the challenges. But one of the amazing things is the Lord can give you a new perspective. At the beginning, we talked about Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and that perspective that can seem looming and overwhelming, but he can give us a different perspective, one from an eagle's point of view. I heard about recently an experiment that was done, or a world record that was broken a couple years back, involving an eagle's flight. Now, some of you might recall that there's a tower in Dubai, India, called the Burj Khalifa. It's currently the tallest tower in the world. It's a huge, huge tower. And what some people did, why they did it, that's a good question. But they took an eagle, and they brought this eagle up to the top of this tower, which is 2,700 feet in the air. And they took the eagle, and they put a camera on the eagle's back, and they launched the eagle off this tower. And then the eagle began soaring around and making its way down. And they show the camera shot. You can watch it on YouTube. You can find it on YouTube. And it's an amazing view. Here you see the feathers of the eagle, but then you see this camera shot of hundreds of buildings in the city of Dubai. There are 2.9 million people in the city of Dubai. And all these cars, all these buildings, even skyscrapers, they look so small from the perspective of the eagle. This eagle soaring around, and can you hear the hustle and the bustle of the traffic down below? No, you hear just the breeze as this eagle is soaring above this giant city. And as we look to our Lord, as we look to him for strength, remembering who he is, remembering the privilege that we have to pray to him, he gives us then the perspective of an eagle. You who dwell in the shelter of the Lord, who abide in his shadow for life, say to the Lord, my refuge, my rock in whom I trust. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.